Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. We're beginning this morning, as we do most Mondays, with the political junkie Ken Rudin. We find him today in Sacramento, California. Ken, what are you doing out in California?
Well, the local station invited me out because Hillary Clinton is having one of her conversations this evening in Davis. Mm-hmm. And we're going to sit there and listen to her and watch her, and then we'll talk about it on the show tomorrow.
Okay, well, that ought to be interesting. I have you caught many of these speeches that she's on a book tour, right? A national book tour?
She's on a book tour, and I've read the book, and this will not be any question and answer. This will be basically she'll make some comments, and then she'll have a question and answer. I'm sorry, she'll have a conversation with the host. But no interaction with the audience.
Wonder why? I mean, what does she have to lose now?
Well, you know something, that's what's in her book. Basically, her book is, I have nothing to lose. I'm going to be extremely candid now, unlike previous books, because I'm not running again, and I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest. But no, this is part of her. You know, we keep talking about how she's been distant and everything, and this is a chance to be more, getting even closer to Hillary Clinton, but not on these book tours.
Huh. So since you're in California, I thought we would talk about legislation that California Senator Dianne Feinstein has tried to get support for a long time, and that's banning these bump stocks. It appears that the NRA is, although I know there's some hedging now, but that the NRA is willing to support the idea of a debate around this. Where do you see that going, Ken?
Well, you know, each time we see these horrific actions, you know, these horrific events, be it Newtown, you know, Sandy Hook or Orlando or San Bernardino or Charleston or anything like that, there's always a conversation about what can be done, what could have been done, what legislation could have been passed. And this one is interesting because it seems like many Republicans, as well as most Democrats, are saying these bump stocks are just illegal and should be outlawed. But as far as I see, the only thing the NRA is saying is that we will look at the possibility of regulating them. And, of course, there's a big difference between regulating them and outright banning them.
And I think we discussed this last week. What the NRA wants and signals is something that members of Congress who get a lot of campaign donations from the NRA listen to pretty closely. And I know it's not only about donations. It's also about how the NRA can support a primary challenger to some of these members of Congress.
Right. Not only support a primary challenge, but you can see that they could also spend a fortune opposing a candidate as well. And so their clout is big. We always talk about how the Democrats may or may not have lost Congress in 1994 because of the NRA, and that's very possible. But the NRA also has a lot of things on its plate as well. They want to obviously allow people who can carry a concealed weapon, anybody who can have a concealed weapon in one of those states that allows that, to go to to bring that gun to another state that allows concealed carry. So the NRA, even if they're talking about possibly budging on bump stocks, they have an agenda of things they want passed as well.
Got it. Interesting op-ed yesterday in the Times. I wondered if you caught this. It was by Lily Raff McCallu. She's a hunter. She calls herself a, quote, sensible gun owner. And here's part of what she wrote about the politics of the NRA. The NRA doesn't represent gun owners like me, but the problem is that no one else really does either. Americans who don't own guns are represented by an array of nonprofits that share their wish to crack down on gun violence with gun laws that are as restrictive as possible. Gun owners are hesitant to get behind these groups because we first want to understand their nuanced views on gun laws. Does she have something there, Ken?
Well, you know, I mean, yes, of course. And we've heard from gun owners in the past after horrific incidents where they say that the NRA doesn't speak for me. But as far as you know, as restrictive as possible, some of the legislation that's been out for, you know, suggested information that's been out in recent years or suggested in recent years, such as background checks, background checks and things like that. And you need background checks if you purchase a gun on the internet or at gun shows.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that doesn't sound extremely restrictive. I mean, you'll get the gun eventually, but just need a background check.
And a lot of Americans support that, as you've noted.
A lot of Americans do support it, and I think a lot of lawmakers do, too. But again, as you pointed out earlier, you cross the NRA at your own peril.
You have a question for Ken? You can get to me on Twitter. It's at CarrieMPR or 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. You know, Ken, the president has been, while he has not been quiet on a whole lot of other things that we're going to talk about, especially on Twitter, he's been uncharacteristically quiet about this. What's that about?
Wait, you mean about guns?
Yeah.
Well, he did say, I mean, he did say when he went to Las Vegas, he said, we'll see about future legislation. When Mitch McConnell was asked about it, he said, we'll see. So, look, you know, obviously, I mean, if you remember, the House was ready to pass a bill that would make it easier to get silencers on guns
right.
last week before the Las Vegas thing happened. So, you know, as always, the pro-gun crowd, the gun rights crowd is always on the defensive. After something like this happens, and the NRA has not been talking much either. They want to hope that things die down. But the thing about Donald Trump, in the past, he has talked about sensible gun restrictions. It just, I guess, it depends on what mood he's in when he wakes up, or how he feels about guns or any other kind of legislation.
And one note, Ken, on that silencer bill: there's no saying it's not, you know, that it's not going to pass. They just put it on hold for a while because of what happened in Las Vegas. It could very well come back and be passed through the House.
That's true. But I've heard from many Republicans who said there are still problems with that bill. And unless certain changes are made, it may not get to the floor at all.
One place that the president hasn't been quiet is what he thinks of Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, who's very influential in the Senate as a Republican senator. So listen to a bit of what Corker said last week that set this whole thing off. Here's Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee.
I think Secretary Tillerson, Secretary Mattis, and Chief of Staff Kelly are those people that help separate our country from chaos. And I support them very much.
Now, the president felt the need to send the press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, out to say if anybody is holding back the chaos, it's President Trump. And thus began this Twitter storm war between the two. What do you make of this, Ken?
Well, I mean, it's here we go again with Donald Trump attacking what ostensibly should be an ally of his. I mean, basically, with all the things that the Republicans want to pass, like tax reform, like get nominees pushed through, like maybe decertify the Iran nuclear issue, you need somebody like Bob Corker. Not only is he influential, he's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Armed Services Committee. So, I mean, so he's a very, very important guy, important person to have on your side. But having said that, it's not Armed Services, that's Foreign Relations Committee, I'm sorry. But having said that, he's also retiring. So, one, he may be losing influence because he's a lame duck, but two, maybe he has influence because he's free to say his mind. But
right.
Trump went after him. He said he's not seeking re-election because he didn't have the guts to run again. And, I mean, it's just by poking fun, by picking on his at his allies, Trump just does a disservice to his own party. And Corker knows that as well as anybody. He said, look, I have the ability and the freedom to point out what Trump is doing. But he said it's so dangerous that it could be, you know, he's putting the United States, could be putting him on the U.S. on the path to World War III.
Right.
Now, the good thing about World War III is that if we have one, there won't be a World War IV, so that'll be good. But, I mean, the point is he knows Corker's one of those adults in the room who says he knows what's going on in that White House, and he's just upset that many Republicans are afraid to say the same things he's saying publicly.
You know, just a word here, Ken. You use the phrase that the president pokes fun at. I think it's more serious. I mean,
I didn't mean poke fun. I mean, he just pokes and picks on and digs. And if you think of the big, his big Twitter outburst, it's very often against his fellow Republicans, the Mitch McConnells, the John McCains of the world, and now Bob Corkers. And, you know, you do that and the reason John Kelly was supposed to take the job as White House Chief of Staff is to just keep the White House on a steady course, a normal course. But obviously, Kelly's not doing the job. And that's why Corker enlisted Kelly as one of the three people who are also one of the adults in the room.
Well, that's right. You know, there's so much contempt and anger in these tweets. I think that's why they're notable. They're not just good old, oh, we disagree kind of stuff. The president has never been like that. This is mean.
No. Basically, anytime somebody feels that he's being disrespected, like when Corker put on a defense of Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, who ostensibly or allegedly called the president a moron, when you defend somebody that you're attacking, you become part of that enemy. And that's why he says, well, Corker didn't have the guts to run for re-election. He begged me for my endorsement. We saw how good his endorsement was in the Alabama Senate race. But then Bob Corker said, this is all not true. And it's just sad to watch this. And it's very sad, he'll say, for the Republican Party. And the question is how long more and more senators will go along with it.
Well, that Bob called to ask you if you think other Republicans will follow Corker's lead and become a bit more openly critical of Trump.
Yeah. The reason I think no is because of those kind of so-called quasi-independent Republicans who are running for a re-election next year, like Dean Heller of Nevada and Jeff Flake of Arizona and maybe Roger Wicker of Mississippi, Trump and Steve Bannon and others in that element are threatening and promising primary challenges. So as you said earlier, you know, you cross Donald Trump and you risk the outburst from Trump on Twitter and Steve Bannon's organization, and all those others who will finance a challenge against you. And I mean, we just saw that. We're going to see that a lot in 2018.
This was a week of hypocritical men. I know. You know where I'm going with this. First, Harvey. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there are two of them. It's not only Harvey
and
Weinstein.
Tim Murphy. Oh, unbelievable. Okay, first, Harvey Weinstein about getting the Truth Teller Award from the L.A. Press Club in 2017, and then all this stuff. Open secret, I guess, in Hollywood.
Well, that's what's remarkable about this. I mean, he's described as a champion of liberal causes. He's getting all these awards. He's giving all this money to Democrats.
Right.
When apparently, and I, of course, I'm not, I don't know much about this stuff, but apparently this is an open secret that he has been sexually harassing women for ages. And, of course, it took the New York Times investigation to bring it out. And, of course, now Harvey Weinstein has been fired. Steve has been fired by his own company. But if you think of all the people who he's fought for, you know, women's groups and the DNC and Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And he gave money to all
of them.
He's
given a lot of money. That's right.
And now suddenly they're appalled and say, well, I had no idea this was happening.
Well, and on the other end of this is Congressman Tim Murphy from Pennsylvania. I don't know how many of our listeners are following this, but, oh, my gosh, hundreds of speeches about how pro-life he is and how abortion is never the answer. And then he's having this affair and he asks this woman that he's having an affair with to get an abortion. Because
and that's
pregnant.
Why he resigned from Congress. But you have to admit, it's the hypocrisy that drives people nuts. It's Tim Murphy, as you say, an outspoken opponent of abortion. And then and as it turned out, the woman he was having an affair with wasn't pregnant, but he thought she was and said, we should have an abortion. And this is exactly what drives people nuts and especially and have them lead to hate politics and politicians because for all their espousing of America and freedom and family values, they just violate that in their own lives.
That district that Representative Murphy is from is pretty safe for Republicans, Ken. Wouldn't really mean anything for Democrats in the House.
That's true. I mean, it'll be a Republican pickup. And even with Corker leaving, it'll be probably a Republican retention. But it's clear in Tennessee with Bob Corker leaving that the next senator will be far more conservative than Corker is. And Corker's a pretty conservative guy, but he's considered part of the establishment. His successor is not likely to be one of those.
Ken, enjoy your time in California, and I'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, Kerry.
Ken Rudin with us, a political junkie, on Mondays to start the week and start the show.